in Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
The information provided does not and is not intended to constitute legal advice. Instead, all information, content, and materials available in this interview are for general informational purposes. Information in this presentation may not constitute the most up-to-date legal or other information. Listeners of this should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter. No listener of this presentation should act or refrain from acting on the basis of information in this presentation without first seeking legal advice from counsel in the relevant jurisdiction. Only your individual attorney can provide assurances that the information contained herein and your interpretation of it is applicable or appropriate to your particular situation. Use of and access to this interview and information contained within do not create an attorney-client relationship between the listener and presentation author. The views expressed at or through this interview are those of the individual attorneys in their individual capacities only, not those of their respective employers. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this interview are hereby expressly disclaimed. The content in this interview is provided as is. No representations are made that the content is error-free.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, it's Ask a Lawyer time. Get those questions loaded up. Got a couple coming in already. I am Tanner Schwint. Taylor Myers with TaylorMade Legal Services joining me. Havila is caught in court. I guess she's doing her job. That's kind of a weird thing.
She is. And, you know, that happens a lot. Unfortunately, you don't know how long court is going to take.
We were just talking about that. So we'll get those questions loaded up. When Havila gets here, we're going to ask both these guys. We're going to be talking about some inheritance stuff. Tiger King, I guess, as well, which really just felt like a fever dream the first time and the only time that I watched that. But we're going to be talking about that. So get that all loaded up. When Havila gets here, we'll dive in. But I think this is fascinating. It brings up something that I hadn't thought about. Obviously, in day-to-day life, no matter what industry you're in, and you get things that pop up you don't know about. But what's the average, I mean, length of court? I mean, do you not know if it's going to be a 5-minute hearing or an hour or two?
Yeah, and it just, you don't know, and it depends on what kind of court appearance it is. Sounds like Havila was maybe in a hearing, I don't know, but it depends also where you are. If you're in Mull County, it's pretty much, you kind of know, but I was telling you I've been in Denver and I was expecting it to be 5 minutes and I was there all day, had to cancel the rest of my appointments, and I was not happy about it.
So, and you said a running docket? Is that what is that? I mean, what is that all about?
Yeah, so certain counties have something called like a trailing docket, where you just put certain dates in your calendar and you're unsure if they are actually going to go, and then sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, and it's not fun.
How much of a heads up do you get or do you just have to be there?
Usually on those you get like a week heads up.
Okay. But that's not terrible then.
Yeah, but it's still, then you can't like book anything else.
Right. Right. So that's, you were talking about Weld County is normally, even Larimer County will run later. So as a lawyer, do you stop taking cases in like Denver and Boulder and stuff like that? Or how does that work? I mean, obviously it's not ideal, but I would imagine that you'd still go down there.
It depends on the attorney. I usually just tell people if I'm going to do Denver, then I'm going to charge more because you don't know how long it's going to take. And I was telling you, like, I mean, I drove down there, it was 8 a.m. and I was there all day, like with my client, just, and they're like, when are we going to be done? I was like, I have no idea.
Well, that's just the price of doing business. I mean, that makes complete sense. Was there a time where you thought, okay, this is going to be an all day affair, and then it was like 5 minutes, you were in and out, or do you normally know how long it's going to take?
Yeah, I mean, recently we had a case that was supposed to go to trial, and we didn't know if it was going to go to trial that day. We walked in, and you just have to expect that we expected it to go to trial. You have to prep as if it is, but there was a chance it wasn't, and we argued for it to go to trial, and it ended up not going to trial. So it only took an hour as opposed to 2 days.
There you go. Was it a win for you, or were you like, okay, I would have rather gone to trial?
No, I would have rather gone to trial and gotten it over with.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, after that, it got continued, and it was better for my client because it got dismissed after
Good.
That.
So. There you go. That's an absolute win. That's what we're here to talk about. W's, not L's. Let's talk about Tiger King, okay? Joe Exotic. First of all, did you watch the series?
I watched the first, what part of the series?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the new part.
There's another part out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think that's, yeah.
I think you have to be, this is obviously not you, but for me, I think you'd have to be heavily intoxicated to watch that a second time or even more of it, because it was just a mind bender the way that it was. How could this all take place? But so we know Joe Exotic is in prison.
Right.
He was appealing it. Is that right?
I think he was appealing his sentence because he has cancer. I was just, all these articles pop up, and it's interesting to me when there's some legal aspect involved. So I clicked on that, and I think they lowered his sentence by a year or something,
yeah,
because he has cancer. The whole thing, yeah, you're right. You kind of have to be drunk to watch. But I also am like, when the second part came out, I was like, I'm not really interested in that, but, you know.
It was just, I sat there and watched it. And, of course, that's one of those, either you have to binge watch it or you're not going to go back. Because if you do, you're like, why the hell did I waste that much time of my life? And it got to the point where I ordered food in because I was still watching it. It made no sense the entire time. But so his plea was because he had cancer. He was starting his early stage treatment. Is that common? I mean, do people normally start to appeal stuff if they are diagnosed with a cancer or another form a disease like that?
Yeah, I think especially a lot in the media, you see it where if someone's in prison for a long time, if they have cancer or some form of, you know, disease where they're dying or need long treatment, they're going to try and get their sentence lowered, because why not try if you know,
right,
potentially your life isn't going to be as long as your sentence?
Well, and so, you know, and I don't know if you can answer this, but he's still going to get treatment, right? Even though you're in prison, they still treat you for diseases like this?
They do. They can take you to the hospital. They take you to the hospital, and that's kind of the only time you see outside of prison is you go and you get the treatment, and then you have to go back when you're not getting the treatment.
That is just insane to me. But yeah, I mean, the quote from him was, "Please don't make me die in prison waiting for a chance to be free." That would be stressful. But also, I mean, even when you didn't have cancer, you were not a great human being.
Right.
It was the case against, he was convicted in a case involving animal welfare activist Carol Baskin, which Carol's wrapped up in a lot of lawsuits as well, correct? I mean, she's got something going on.
Yeah, I see her all the time in all these lawsuits, and people, you know, hate her, which rightfully so, but based on what I saw, I don't know. I'm a pretty big animal lover, so it was hard for me to see all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then I know there's an animal sanctuary in Colorado that,
yep,
took a lot of those animals, which I was happy about. But all of it is just kind of wild.
So it absolutely is. But this just kind of triggered another question. So Carol Baskin and Howard Baskin showed up to the plea when he was asking for his sentence to be reduced or forgiven. As a lawyer, when you've got a case, obviously it's not as high profile as these two morons, but do you take notice of who else is in the room? I mean, do you take notice of who's coming to be with the person who's trying to get a plea deal done or against them? Do you notice that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. That's your job as a defense attorney, but also as a prosecutor, you know who's there, and if everyone, you know, who's potentially a victim in a case has a right to speak. And so I think I didn't read in depth into this, but I think that's probably why,
right,
they had a chance to speak, is she was one of the, I say this with air quotes, victims of the case, that the judge gives everyone a chance to speak. I mean, kind of what we were talking about last week of the victims' families in the trucker case, that was the issue we had as attorneys, is they did not get to have their piece.
Right.
They didn't get to have their day in court, and that's a huge issue.
Does it determine the outcome a little bit more if the victims are there? Do you kind of say, okay, you know, if I'm the defendant here, I'm going to have to work extra hard, because there's no more appealing testimony than the actual victims of the crime that may have taken place?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to take that into consideration, and you have to tell, at least as a defense attorney, you tell your client, you know, you have to be so cognizant of what these families are going through when you're speaking, talking about you're asking for a lesser sentencing, you cannot ever say, basically say anything that puts blame on the family.
Right.
Or like say there's a car accident. Sometimes it is the victim's, there is a part that is their fault. It's not always one person's fault, like, you know.
Right.
And, but you are never, ever going to say that to a victim's family.
Right. No, and that makes a fine line that you have to walk because, especially like that incident that you just talked about, there's always, not always, but more or less, there's going to be two guilty parties, but who is the main guilty party of it? How do you walk around that? I mean, how do you get that point across? Because it's a big point of saying, you know, I don't want you to give away all your secrets or anything like that. But how do you kind of point to that and say, look, you know, they were part of this as well?
That's where the attorney falls on the sword a little bit. So the attorney, defense attorney or the public defender, you know, has a chance to speak and will fall on the sword a little bit. And it's a lot of prep with the client, the clients, their family as well, who gets a chance to speak. I remember I did one sentencing hearing where you can prep them though as much as you want. And there's one person that sometimes will just say the exact thing you told them not to say.
What crosses your mind when that happens?
You just, everyone, the judge, the prosecutor, like, they look at your face and just like, oh, they said the one thing, you know, you told them not
right.
to say, but you have to keep going.
Well, how often does that happen? Because I would imagine it's easy to say, okay, stay away from this, but the pressure speaking in front of a judge that is going to determine your fate, I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
It is. It's it's hard. I mean, especially clients, you just tell them, here's what you say, especially, like, say you're sorry when it's, DUI or something like that, especially when there was not necessarily a victim involved of DUI, you know, there's
right.
no crash, but you just say you're sorry and shut up and then let me do the rest of the talking. And good attorneys and good public defenders, a lot of times the defendant will start on a spiel and start down this road. And then you just say, okay, that's enough.
You don't get, yeah, you don't.
You interrupt them and you say, thank you for, and then you take over.
That is so interesting because you do have to control what they say. How much, on average, prep time does it vary by case, but how much prep time goes into these, you know, trial cases at least?
Well, I mean, trials, actual full trials, it's potentially weeks, months, but actual sentencing hearings where you've reached a plea agreement already, but there is still that sentencing, it depends on the case. You know, like I was saying, the one a while ago, I remember I took 2 days prepping, getting, people from the community for my one client and prepping him and his wife. And, you know, and then that was a careless causing death. Versus, you know, obviously that is going to be quite a bit more than
right.
Someone for, you know, a DUI where there isn't anyone luckily injured.
Well, and how fine of a line do you have to walk when it comes to that? When you think, okay, this person may be innocent, do you just kind of let them go and tell you exactly what they told? Not exactly, obviously, but exactly what they told you in prep. You're like, okay, this is a good plea. You know, this makes sense to have there, as opposed to sometimes you're like, okay, just shut up and let me do my deal.
You kind of tell them, you know, tailor it, but it's always like, I'm sorry, this is why, I'm sorry again, and then stop talking. So even though when you're prepping them, they can say, well, I want to add this, and you either say yes or no, because, you know, obviously you want them to be genuine.
Yeah.
And even if they are or are not guilty, if you took a plea, you're still in a sentencing hearing, so you can't just say, well, I didn't do it in the sentencing hearing. Like, you took a plea.
You're saying that you did.
Yeah, so.
I know. There's a lot that you have to walk through. All right, 10:20 the time. We're in the middle of Ask a Lawyer. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, I believe Havila will be here. So we're going to get a break. Keep loading those questions up that we've been talking about. We've got a couple in here. We're going to talk about some inheritance law as well, because those can get nasty. So we'll talk about that. Get those questions in, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. All right, 10:20 the time. We'll be back. It's NoCo Now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Prep Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies, here on a Thursday morning. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. I am Tanner Schwint. Ryan Kelly doing the production work for us here today. Joining us in studio, it's Ask a Lawyer, Taylor Myers, who you just heard in that first segment with Taylor Made Legal Services. Havila with us as well. You said I could just call you by your first name. Havila with Bruno Lilly Legal. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad I missed the disclaimer.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason why I'm late.
No, I think we need to do something about it, because I can literally hear the knobs turning off because they're like, why is Tanner's voice so sped up? What is he even saying? So I think we might need to take a look at that.
Okay. It's like the opposite also of that intro song we just had.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
Like, so
it is. It absolutely is. That, and that's a shortened down version of it, because the first time we did this, it was like 2 minute late read by me. But welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah?
I apologize for being late. I had some court stuff.
As lawyers tend to do. We were talking a little bit about that. How sometimes you think, you know, this is going to be a 5 minute in and out type of deal, and not the case today for you.
No. And what made it worse was we had interpreters today.
Okay.
So when you think it's 10 minutes, it's going to be an hour.
More importantly than that, I was telling Tanner, like, I didn't realize how much I bounce off of you until you were gone, and I was like, so.
We took the very serious topic of Joe Exotic to talk about.
Which, so I'm sorry I missed.
Yeah, I know, right? So he's sentenced down by 1 year. Do you think that was a good, you think you could have got him off?
Well, do I think I could have gotten him off? Wow, that's a loaded question. I have lots of thoughts about Joe Exotic. I think that he got himself in a lot of trouble over the animal cruelty charges.
Right, right.
So the 1 year was probably just a there. Go back to your cell and be quiet.
I don't think he knows how to do that, first of all, but we were talking too a little bit, and we're going to get into the will and inheritance stuff. We took that first segment long, so if you guys are good, we'll have you stick with us for another one here. But we were talking about, so Carol Baskins was there at the resentencing, or at the plea, to get that diminished. How difficult does that make it when a victim, and like Taylor said, victim with Carol Baskins, we're using air quotes for, because she's just as disgusting as everybody else in that show. But how much more difficult does that make you?
So I was thinking about that very issue before coming in here, is the Carol Baskin twist, because I don't think that Joe Exotic would have necessarily been convicted had it not been for all those animal cruelty charges. And then they just sort of tacked on the murder for hire conspiracy on the back end of that. And, you know, like, prosecutors may or may not acknowledge this, but I can acknowledge, as a former prosecutor, there were certainly true victims, and then there are victims that play it up. And I feel like Carol Baskin is very much one of those ones who has certain rights and has to be listened to, but everybody kind of goes, ugh, we don't want to hear from this lady.
Do you think she killed her former husband? I mean, we're diving all the way in. We might as well ask it.
I don't know.
You don't know?
But, the whole fraud thing on the will,
right.
All of that's very interesting.
Right.
I don't think she has clean hands in any way.
I don't think so either. You agree?
Yeah, no, I think she killed him.
I go there too. I'm like, this person is evil. I love this. Did you watch the second part of the series though?
I did.
You
and
did.
I watched the spinoff.
Now I've got questions about you, Havila, because I couldn't. I watched the first season all in one day, which I don't know if that makes it worse or better. But there's no way in hell I could have watched the second season.
Yeah, it was torture.
Yeah,
but I forced myself to do it. I was like, I must get through this.
I think actually that's how terrorists break some of the people that they kidnap and stuff. They just make them watch that for back to back. All right, 10:29. Let's get a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get to your questions regarding wills. We'll talk a little bit more about Carol Baskins, maybe, hopefully not. But 10:30, let's get to the bottom of the hour news and Weather Center.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Let's come back in on some good news. Got a text here. This is a great segment. Tell them thank you for doing this. So there you go, guys.
Oh, thank you.
They obviously haven't been listening for too long.
Or they just tuned in.
Yeah, that's true. They're like, hey, I like whatever's happening here. Maybe a big Tiger King fan. Who knows? This is Ask a Lawyer with Havila from Bruno Lilly Legal, Taylor Myers from TaylorMade Legal Services. We're going to be talking about inheritances here. And these can get flat out nasty and disgusting because a lot of the time it's the family matters, right? And there's so many different ways that that this can go about. So we've got one specific question here from a texter. Let me take you through this. So my dad owns land willed to him by his grandfather, but the will states that when my dad dies, the land will go to his kids. Okay. The question is, if he has to go to a senior home, will the government seize the land, even though the land is willed to the kids upon his death? If that is the case, do they have the dad sign it over right now, preemptively taking measures? What are your guys' thoughts on this? I know you guys don't specialize in inheritance and will readings and things like that, but what are your thoughts right off the bat from that question?
Well, I missed the piece the first time we talked about this, about the will stating it goes to father first, then children. So that doesn't sound to me like a will, actually. That sounds more like a trust that's already set up in place. Based off of that, that means that father really doesn't have full property rights, because once father dies, there's already a place where the land is supposed to go. I would want to know, if it's a trust or a will, who actually owns the property. Is it father or the trust itself, and what type of trust it is?
So for hypothetical, let's say it's a will. Let's say it's not inside of a trust. There's a will in place.
Okay. So, I mean, like, barring some of the other legal issues with that I kind of foresee, like, I think the ultimate question really is, can the government take this land if he goes into
assisted living or something like that?
Exactly. And really the issue that I'm aware of in that situation is whether or not father gets Medicaid. And if father does get Medicaid, then he can't have assets in order to help pay for his expenses in the home. So does he need to start getting rid of some of his assets now, because that's potentially the path? Yes. But these individuals need to speak to an estate planning lawyer, a probate lawyer, who can talk to them about that. I believe there is a 1 to 3 year look back on when father starts giving rid of his assets.
Yeah, and the texter did just the listener chimed in, said it is a will, so it's not in the power of a trust. It is set up in a will. So can you have that? We talked a little bit off air, Taylor, about having a power of attorney or something like that set up. Could that mitigate some of the other potential issues, or is that just kind of more of a security blanket?
I don't know too much about will and trust issues, so this person definitely needs to go talk to someone. But having a power of attorney can help, but it's just very like intermediate, and they need to go if they are planning on getting on Medicaid, like Havila said, sooner rather than later.
So Medicaid's the big issue.
Medicare is the one. But yes, that's super tricky, because you have to essentially have no assets to go on Medicare. And then if there are assets, the government will certainly go and seek them to sort of pay back the costs of you being in the system.
Right. So would it make for this family, would it make more sense to possibly pay for the living cause. So if he does go into home, does it make more sense for them to you know, I would assume that it's a family you mentioned here, to the kids, it's plural. Would it make more sense for them to just pay for the living conditions and where the house, whatever he goes to, and then they seize the assets? Or would it, I guess, avoid Medicare? Would that be the best way to go about it?
Practically speaking, most people cannot avoid Medicare.
Okay.
It's too expensive once you start looking at the cost of assisted living. So, I mean, yes, of course, look into anything that you can potentially do for your family member. I don't know what type of assistance your family member might need.
Right.
Maybe bringing an in-home care provider is really the way to go. But this is a whole family conversation, not
right.
just a dad conversation that they should be having.
Well, and I think this is why I kind of wanted to talk about it, because obviously this is a very specific field that lawyers can get into. But, you know, these can get nasty. Have you guys been a part or have seen or talked to other lawyers who have had things like this that have covered or had cases like this that they get, you know, flat out nasty in there?
Probate can get that way. Anytime, let me back up, not just probate, anytime money is involved and there's family, it can get nasty. People, surprisingly, can come out and family ties break because of this exact situation. So, yes, there's always the potential.
How often do wills, stand up in court? I mean, if there's a challenge to a will, is it pretty rock solid most of the time?
So there are these things that are put into wills called a no contest clause. And basically what it is it's a threat. It says, if you person who are in my will decide to challenge this in court, you are out of my will. And those usually don't hold up because for public policy reasons. But the point is to say, look, this is really what I want to do. Please don't challenge it.
Yeah.
But you can still challenge it. And there are ways to go about challenging it. Whether or not it's worth your time and money and energy to challenge
right.
it is a different question.
I feel like that section of law, I mean, that's a lot of fine print reading, isn't it? Or is that all law?
Wait, fine print versus law?
Yeah,
that's some nuance there, too.
I mean, I feel like because you're literally taking a document and trying to find a way that you can, you know, go around it, I guess is the word I'm looking
it's
for.
It's not necessarily find a way in the fine print. I think a huge part of, unfortunately, wills is a lot of people feeling like when it was made or during the person's lifetime that they weren't of sound mind. And
right.
that's so difficult to prove. So it's not necessarily the fine print, but it's, you know, was someone else taking advantage of them when they wrote this or something? And that is very, very difficult to prove. And it takes a lot of time and money.
Well, we just saw it on a national scale or from a Colorado scale, the Bolin Trust, right? Pat Bolin, who was the former owner of the Denver Broncos, he had a trust put into place and then his daughter was going to take over. And then, I mean, that was an expensive damn thing. And I feel like those are more public at the national stage. I mean, are there a lot of cases like this that the people challenge trusts?
So I can't speak to how often it happens just because I don't practice in this area of law, so I'm not as familiar. But, I mean, we are familiar with some of the more nationally publicized ones. Again, I'm going to show my age again. I remember Anna Nicole Smith.
Right.
That was – and I think that's kind of the classic one that Taylor's speaking of where, you know, the young girl comes in and marries the older man and then all of a sudden the children are disinherited and the wife now gets everything. And how much of that is the new young wife taking advantage of this guy, you know? And so I think that's always the concern. But again, it goes back to do you have the resources to fight it?
Yeah, and for a lot of people, if it's as extensive as you guys are talking about, a lot of people don't have those resources. So unfortunately, but I would say this is obviously not law advice because I'm not a lawyer. But have a will in place, have a plan in place. Talk to the people that will be getting the money afterwards, and tell my parents and I and my brother have had that conversation about okay, here's what we want afterwards. And you know, I'm lucky; I've got a great family relationship. But just communicate beforehand so that we don't have to talk about your case on this radio show in 12 years.
right?
You guys signed a 12-year contract, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. It's Ask a Lawyer segment. Get those questions in, 888-530-0043. I am going to go back to Carol Baskins because she's involved in some sort of a will-type thing, right?
Yes, she
is. What is going on with that? Because I wrote her off.
So I think the issue with that was whether or not the document was forged, whether or not he actually signed it. And there was one key phrase in that document that kind of raised everybody's sort of flags, where everybody was going, that doesn't sound right. And I can't think of what exactly it was off the top of my head.
Well, of course, it's got Carol Baskins involved. It's not going to be easy and simple right off the bat. But
right.
Taylor and I, it's a good thing we're not on the jury if she ever gets charged with anything, because she's guilty before she's proven innocent, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought so. But yeah, it's so weird when you start to see these high profile, because there's not a lot of in-depth reporting on these things. Like, I learned a little bit about the Boland Trust and stuff like that, but the nuances that go into it is not very heavily reported on. And there's a lot of things that go into it, which I think is interesting. Did you find that that key phrase that you were looking for there,
Hevla? Well, I think what it was, and I don't find it exactly, but it was something like, in the event of my death or disappearance.
Yeah.
And like, most people don't put in their will or disappearance, and then suddenly he disappeared. I think that was the issue. I didn't find it exactly. But yeah, so that like made people go, wait a minute.
That's red flags all over the place.
Exactly.
That is insane. Yeah.
I'm going to have to, now that you say that, I'm going to have to put that in writing as something in mind, like of disappearance.
Okay.
That, yeah, no. It just has to. I don't know. You never know now.
Seems like a bad omen, Taylor.
Right. Hey, don't talk this into existence. I was thinking that we need to quit this and just go do some investigating on Carol Baskins is what I was thinking.
No, I think there's plenty of people doing their own investigating. Let's just ride their coattails.
Okay. All right. We'll just listen to the podcast instead. Right. Ladies, thank you so much for your time this morning. Hevla, where can people learn more about you and your legal services?
Sure. So they can find me at Bruno Lilly Legal.com, or you can call me at 720-340-1373.
And Taylor?
TaylorMadeLegal.com.
All right, and that's T-A-I-L-O-R, TaylorMadeLegal.com. Ladies, thank you so much. We'll be back at it next week. If you have questions in the meantime, feel free to shoot them our way. You can find this podcast, if you missed any of our conversation today, on 1310KFK.com as well. 1046, let's get a break. We'll be back. Finish this thing up. It's NoCo Now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310KFK.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Special thanks to Hevla and Taylor for coming in today. I'll be honest, I didn't think I'd ever talk about Tiger King again. But it's just so fascinating to watch these things play out on a public level. And will and inheritance, there's just so much fine text and all of that. So communication is the takeaway that I got from these two ladies in here. Communicate amongst your family. Communicate with a lawyer as well. But thanks so much for them for coming in. Next week, we're going to be talking about stolen vehicles. How does that go about? We talked about a lot, puffing and starting your car. The puffing, I don't know why it's called that, but I do know why. But the things that you need to do to make sure, was your car started? Was there a key in it? And if it was stolen, what happens? So we'll talk with these fine ladies next week. Let's look at our accessories with a hair and flare poll question. Do you listen or care about actors' opinions regarding news events? I'm very happy to report that 0% of people say, yes, I like to know. 0%. Nobody cares. 11% of people say sometimes, but 89% of people say, no, it's not their spot. And add me to that level as well, because I really, truly don't believe that it is their spot at all. All right, 10:52. Let's get to the headline that caught our eye. What do you got, Ryan?
All right, this is a kind of silly one. Same-sex couple of penguins, mind you, becomes New York Zoo's first gay penguin parents.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
So their names, they're really funny. They have Elmer and Lima. They became foster parents for this little guy that looks like a little brown piece of crap. But regardless, he's still a cutie.
That you know that somewhere a cartoon writer is like, oh, I've got an idea.
Literally.
I've got an idea.
Yeah.
These stories always crack me up because these penguins are going to receive hate anyways. And it's like, would you really know if you were at the zoo and you saw two penguins, you know, just walking around? And mind you, I'm even skipping over the fact that there's no such thing as penguin marriage.
Right.
So I'm skipping over the fact that this should even be a topic. But this is what we do in this segment. To get to the point that if you were at the zoo and you saw these two penguins walking around being a quote-unquote couple, you're not going to know the sex of either of them. So why does it... It must be a slow news day for whoever. Who was that that reported that?
Please tell me.
Wasn't someone big, was it?
I don't know. Ben Hopper.
Okay. Do you know who he writes for?
No.
Okay, really. Good. Good. That's just good.
Just website.
I was hoping that was going to be the case. I was really hoping that somebody in the big media world wasn't reporting on this because it's not news. It's kind of cool. It is kind of cool. Apparently, they've got a brown piece of crap son now.
Yeah, he's kind of cute, though.
Yeah. You were the one who called him a piece of crap.
This is true.
So.
He looks like it.
There you go. We've got a same-sex couple of penguins who adopt.
Yeah.
That's a headline I never thought I'd get to. Tomorrow, coming up, we'll have Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears. He'll join us after the Bears do play tonight. They're back in action against Portland State. This time it's at the Bank of Colorado Arena. So be sure to check that out. But Jerry will be on the call for that one. We'll talk with him, get a recap tomorrow morning. Jerry Schimmel is also filling in for me next Monday. So he will be here guiding you through things. So be looking forward to that. Cody Wilson, Denver and Front Range Weather. I know he had a really busy day yesterday, not only just filling in for my show, but with all of the different weather events taking place out there. So Cody Wilson will join us at 9:35. And then hour number two, it is going to be a Feel Good Friday. Yeah, that's right. Feel Good Friday. We're going to be doing general trivia. We're going to give our look ahead at the weekend in sports. We've got a lot that we're going to get into with Brian Gary and Brady Hull, host of the Hull Show, and the Good Afternoon Guy, respectively. So be looking forward to that. I'm glad everybody was okay yesterday. I need to give a big shout out to our crew here at KFKA that we were able to keep our live and local shows on. Ryan got stuck twice yesterday. Is that right?
Yeah, twice. Once coming in and then coming back home from Brian's show.
All right. So that was twice. You dedicate. How upset were you the second time?
I was kind of over it at that point because I'd already fallen as well prior. So I was just kind of like, you know, this is kind of how today's going.
Just because there's a lot of managers and people in other places of business that don't say it, I want to say it on the radio. Thank you to you for coming in and making sure that we were able to get everybody on the air. It was greatly appreciated. Angel Padilla, I know, was here for Cody's show yesterday as well. Brian Gary found his way in. So thanks to all the people here at KFK for being able to keep us live and local on what was a kind of a crazy snow day and a lot of snow out there. The roads are getting better, but just keep in mind it is freezing cold out there, so if it looks wet, it's not. It's probably ice. So just keep that in mind and be safe the rest of the day. But shout out to everybody here at KFK for keeping us on air. All right, here's how it shapes up the rest of the day for you. You got Clark and the Coach, Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick coming up from 11 to noon. That'll get your preps fill for the day from Clark and Bruce at 12 o'clock. Brady Hull, host of the Hull Show. We didn't even get a chance to get into the Brian Flores situation that's going on. Brian Flores, the former Miami Dolphins head coach, is now suing the NFL, the Denver Broncos, and the New York Giants and the Miami Dolphins for racial discrimination, alleging that John Elway was very hungover, that they had been drinking. They were an hour late to the interview. And already you're starting to see people. Elway came out and said, there's no way that we were on time. And Flores, after the interview, came out and said, I greatly appreciate their time. Like, It's interesting. There's a lot to that. So we'll dive into that as well. But that's what Brady will be talking about today as well, on top of UNC, CSU action. And then the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary from 3 to 5. As I mentioned, you've got UNC and Portland State tonight. We've got all of it for you here. When I say we're Northern Colorado's voice, we are on from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. and sometimes even later for you to get all of your fill in. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Reminder, couple things. Follow us on the Facebook page at NOCO Now. You can find all of our podcasts there as well as 1310kfka.com. Give me a follow on Twitter at Tanner Schwint as well. I'll keep you up to date on things going on outside of 9 to 11. For Ryan Kelly, thank you so much, my friend. I am Tanner Schwint. Appreciate everybody sticking with us today. We'll be back at it tomorrow, 9 o'clock sharp. Be there or be square because you're not around. You get it? We'll talk to you then. This has been NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.